Welcome to the Prayer Outreach Gospel Hour. This broadcast is brought to you through the supporting members and friends of Prayer Outreach Ministries in Toronto, Ontario. And we trust that you will be blessed as you open your hearts to the Word of God for your life. And now, for today's message, here is Pastor Wayne Sinch.
Today's message I'd like to bring to each one of you is, choose your destiny. Beloved, we are called today to choose. We need to choose this day whom we will serve, whether it be God or we serve the world. Jesus made it very clear. He says, we cannot serve two masters at the same time. We cannot claim to be serving God, and we want to serve our own heart's desire. Our heart's desire can be anything. Our heart's desire can lead us astray. But God will never lead us astray. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible talks about there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. He was laid at the gate of a rich man, and he was full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs would come and lick his sores oftentimes. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. And Abraham said, Son, remember that you had in your lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf that is fixed. No one can cross over, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. I pray the Lord's blessing on his word, and I would like you to know today, here are two men at the opposite ends of the social, financial, an economic ladder. And I suppose, beloved, that every other ladder you could ever think of, one man represents the top and the riches, and the other man represents the lowest form of life and poverty. No two men could be far apart in every single way. You see, beloved, the rich die and the poor also die. But you see, the poor buries and the rich also gets buried. Unless they are cremated, doesn't matter. But the point here is, where are you going to spend eternity? You need to choose your destiny. This poor man was dependent upon the crumbs oftentimes fell from the rich man's table. He never was invited to sit at the rich man's table and enjoy a good meal. He had to be kept in a very secluded place. The dogs would come and lick his sores. Oh, what a horrible scene. Today in our country, we have a healthcare system that provides for the well-being of so many in need. But in the day and time in which the Lord lived, there were no healthcare services available. If you were plagued with diseases and all forms of ailments, or you had leprosy, you were thrown out of the city into the leprous cave, and you had to dwell there. Can you imagine the separations and the anguish and the pain? Oh, what a horrible situation it were in those days. In a few words, beloved, our Lord pictures the depths of the terrible degradation and despair into which this man had fallen. And I'm sure that you had lived in that time town, you might have gotten the impression that poor Lazarus, dressed in rags, did not have much in the way of any spiritual discernment or spiritual riches at all. But Lazarus knew God. I'm sure all of us would have written him off as a hopeless case. He was not educated. He didn't have a house of his own. He was living on the street. I had traveled into many cities around the world. I had seen many, many outcasts. Many slept in cardboard boxes. When the winter would come, they would be cold and hungry. Oh, the government and the city could only do so much. But on the other hand, God loves every single person. We are his children. Oh, on the other hand, beloved, if we trust him with all our hearts, we are going to find salvation for our souls. I'm sure the rich man had several buildings named after him, like so many people in our society today. Perhaps a church or a school or some enterprise or some orphanage or some mission center. Something was named after him. Even our highways and our streets are named after some good person or some individual in society. Beloved, I want you to know this poor beggar had nothing named after him. He was poor. And when you are poor and you own nothing, and you are not influential in your society, no one cares for you that much, but God cares for you. You might be poor. I've been to different parts of the world and I've seen what it is to be poor. I grew up poor myself. I had been in situations at times where I even settled for the second-hand clothing. And there were times when things were not good, but God had been good. Today that I thank God that I'm able. There are times I sacrifice along with my family, along with good friends who are able to do much. Our ministry is also able to put together and help as many as possible, whether they need Bibles or clothing or something. We do whatever we can. I remember the days when communism was across Europe and when the Berlin Wall was up, and there were times when we had to go to Romania, and we took food, and we took clothing, and we took Bibles, and we go into Russia, where the Word of God was scarce. It was a time, beloved, a time to reflect on. Oh, right here in our city, there are people who could hardly make ends meet. Maybe there's some of you who are hearing this broadcast. You've lost your job. You've lost a lot of things. But when God is living in your life, you can never lose your integrity, because your integrity is not dependent upon the abundance of achievements you have made economically, financially. Oh, your achievements are based on the precious redemptive blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And here it was. This poor man died and he didn't have a state funeral. He didn't have people give him 21 gun salute. He didn't have anyone to bury him properly. His body was left lying by the wayside. But then he was carried, his soul was carried up into heaven, into Abraham's bosom, into heaven. You see, our Lord comes right to the door of death and passes through it as it were nothing unusual. When the beggar died, there was no funeral, no wake, no viewing, no nothing. They just took his body out, threw it somewhere, probably in a valley of somewhere where the refuse was thrown and where the dumps and the garbage were being thrown out. This is the place where they threw the bodies of the poor in that day and time. Can you imagine what a horrible thing it must have been? What a sight, what a society. The minute the beggar died, he stepped through the doorway of death, and angels became his pallbearers, and he was carried by them into Abraham's bosom. Oh, the rich man also, he died. I don't know how he died, but he died. He had a big funeral. The preacher pushed him all the way to the top spot in heaven. Oh, the preacher spoke handsomely about him. The only trouble is that the preacher got his direction mixed up, because the rich man went to the other side, a place of torment. In verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, he cried out, and he cried out for mercy. And he said, Abraham, Father, have mercy on me. You know, the other day I was pondering on hell. The Bible says hell is a place of fire and brimstone. It's a place of darkness. It's a place, it's an abyss. It's a bottomless pit. It's a horrible situation. Can you imagine being thrown into hell and you are going down, 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 down without hitting bottom? There is no bottom in hell. The bottom line is there is no bottom. It's a dark place and you can hear the screams of other falling souls. Beloved, I thank God for Jesus that every day I can come before Him and confess whatever sins I have in my life, because I don't want to spend one moment of time in that place, that eternal damnation. And likewise, I want you to know also, if Christ is in your life, the Bible says Jesus has come to give life and to give it more abundantly. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, and you and I, He has quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, for out of the dust we are, and unto dust shall we return. And therefore, death means separation, separation from God. Now the rich man died, his spirit went to the place of torment, the compartment where the lost go, and the beggar went to a compartment called paradise, or Abraham's bosom as it was known. Note that our Lord is not saying that the rich man went to the place of torment because he was rich, and that the poor man went to Abraham's bosom because he was poor. Going through the doorway of that certainly changed their status, but it was due to what was in the hearts of these two men. Though the man was poor and he was there begging, he had a relationship with God. And this is what our Lord has been saying throughout his entire ministry on earth. Heaven is real, beloved. And I would like you to know today, I'm not here to condemn anyone, but if you don't know Christ, you are on your way to a lost eternity. I would like to encourage you today that Jesus is our Savior. The man cried out in hell in torment in verse 24. And he says, if Lazarus could dip his sorry finger in water and put the water on his tongue, he would feel better. But then it was that the Father Abraham says it was not possible. I've seen television programs with some folks saying, oh, there is a crossover. You can talk to the dead and the dying. The Bible talks otherwise, that once you go, to be absent from the body is to be separated and arriving in the presence of God. Beloved, if heaven is not your home and Christ is not in your life and God is not where He should, I pray that before the end of this broadcast that you will make heaven a priority. Make your destination a priority by believing in the eternal Son of God, because he that has the Son of God has life, and God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember, heaven is real as much as hell is real, and God wants you to make it. No matter what you have done, how you had lived, there is forgiveness for you, and heaven can be your home if you call upon Jesus and ask Him to come into your life. This is all the time we have left for this day and this broadcast. Write to us and let us know what God has done for you. And remember to write to us and let us know. And God bless you, and you have yourself a great day. And should the Lord come very soon, see you in heaven. If not, next week, God's willing.
What a blessing it was to have you join us in our broadcast today. This has been a presentation of Prayer Outreach Ministries. We are located at 587 Oakwood Avenue, one block south of Eglinton West. And if you are in the Toronto area, we'd love you to join us every Sunday at 11 a.m. in one of our miracle services. We also meet every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. We'd love to hear from you and to know what God has done for you through this radio broadcast today. We can be contacted at Prayer Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 1346, Station K, Toronto, Ontario, M4P3J4. Our local phone number is 416-784-1312, and we have a toll-free number, 888-784-1312. Our email address is prayeroutreachministries.org. Until next time, God richly bless you.